From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you this nice Monday afternoon, and I'm with Randy Mascarella. She's the executive director of Special Olympics New Mexico. Hi, Randy. Thank you so much for being here with us. Hey, I want to read the mission.
Okay.
I know a lot of people are familiar with Special Olympics, but I thought the mission statement was really cool. The mission of Special Olympics is to provide year-round sports training and athletic competition in a variety of Olympic-type sports for children and adults with intellectual disabilities, giving them continuing opportunities to develop physical fitness, demonstrate courage. That is really interesting when I got to ask you about that too. Experience joy. Wow. How much joy has sports brought all of us? And participate in the sharing of gifts, skills, and friendships with their families, other Special Olympics athletes, and the community. It truly is a family project, isn't it?
It is a worldwide project.
Yeah. But the people that I've met that work with you, you know all the people that volunteer. They have relationships with the athletes. You have coaches that are very dedicated. And these are all really relevant because you have more and more people with needs, and that requires more and more coaches and volunteers and things. But it's, Randy, I think when I first met you, you came in with Susie Sondogger, I think, and we were talking a little bit about Smith, her son, who has Down syndrome. And Susie might have taught me this, but I think you did too, and that is, we always think about who we're going to help, but the people in Special Olympics help us, don't they?
They have a very unique ability, in my opinion, to impact those of us who don't have an intellectual disability in ways that don't leave us.
Yes.
And I can share with you that I tell people all the time, when you walk onto our playing fields, regardless of what sport it is, don't be amazed if you see life's change right in front of your face, but don't be surprised if the life that changes the most is your own.
Awesome. I love that.
That's what happens.
I love that. And I'm going to share that with a lot of people, trust me. I love those kind of sound bites. Those are really meaningful. Tell me about you, Randy. How long have you been with Special Olympics?
Well, here, 32 years now. Time flies when you're having fun. It hardly seems possible. And then I was employed with Special Olympics Iowa for 3 years prior to coming here. And then I was actually coaching women's basketball at Iowa State for a few years. And that's when I was invited to be involved in Special Olympics.
That's really neat. How's your life changed since you started working in New Mexico with Special Olympics? Has it helped you grow as a person? Has it made you kinder? You're like the nicest person in the world, so I can't imagine you being anything but that.
You're not supposed to lie on the air. You know, it's funny because I was looking at these questions this morning, and I had been reading, and I was in Ecclesiastes, and this verse popped up. It said, "There is nothing better for a person to enjoy their work because that is their lot." And that's exactly what all of these decades of work with Special Olympics has brought to my life. I've enjoyed my lot, and very thankful that I was able to have the opportunity to be in a niche that fit me. And you know as well as I do, sport is amazing and can make such an impact in so many ways. And when I was at the intercollegiate level, I always wondered, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? And, you know, I recruited and I loved that part of it. But it was never fully settled in my heart. And when I had the opportunity to go into Special Olympics the very first time and watch these athletes, I stood there and knew I would always be involved in some way. Hmm. Didn't know, you know, exactly the extent of that. But I loved what I saw, Jim. And what I saw from a sport perspective was probably the purest form of sport that I had seen since I was a little girl. And then as I got more into it, I realized the impact I could help to make by working to create more opportunities for people with intellectual disabilities to compete. So it's changed my life incredibly, actually. It's given me meaningful work, which I'm very thankful for, but it's also given me an opportunity to look through eyes a little differently. And, you know, not having any prior relationships with anyone with an intellectual disability or anyone with a disability, actually, and then being right in the middle of it, very quickly I learned to see people challenged with disabilities very differently than what I thought they were about. And when I've learned, and this happens to me even today, every time I get to be with them, I stand in awe in so many ways, and I'm just so grateful for the chance to know them.
The people that you are talking about with intellectual disabilities, every person that I know, I know a lot of parents that have children that compete in Special Olympics. Every one of them is so thankful and has so much fun. Sure, they have some frustrations and things because I'm not sure winning is the motivation, but they want to do their best. And I've just seen just amazing things. Let me ask you, in the short time we've been on the air so far, we've talked about there's really a need for volunteers. There's really a need for coaches. But I have a sense that there are listeners that might be interested, but they're afraid, like they need some special training or something. Talk to us about that. And can you just come as you are and maybe have a background in track, or maybe have a background in baseball or softball or basketball, God's anointed game, but that's another subject. I'm just teasing. I never could catch a baseball. It was too small. I could catch a big ball. And I know there's other Olympic sports. So talk to us about that. What do you need to be a volunteer?
Well, we have two kinds. Okay. So we have the B-level volunteer, who's someone who just decides, you know, I want to come and I want to help at these games and I'll do whatever they need me to do. So a lot of them show up with their colleagues in wherever they work, or some show up as football teams at a local high school, or, you know, just random. And they just want to come for the day of the event and show up. And so they register with us so we know they're coming, and then we try to put them wherever it seems best for that competition and that venue. Then we have...
And those are valuable to you.
Oh, my
gosh. Those are very important people.
Those are extremely important. Okay. I mean, for instance, okay, so summer games, this games we're going to have here at the end of May, 1st of June. We have 100 and over 120 bocce athletes. And a lot of people have never played bocce. So, and you don't need a lot of training. You can learn it pretty quickly, but we need volunteers. We have flag football, we have volleyball, you know, you need a linesman to call, you know, those kind of things. Those are day of event and show up and we will make sure on the javelin throw, you've got the tape measure and you're doing it right. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. Now to coach, it's a little more in depth. Okay. So a coach, anyone who spends periods of time with our athletes, they're considered A-level volunteers, and they have to go through background screenings. They have to go through a general orientation that teaches them about intellectual disability. They, if they are a head coach, they have to go through a practicum, and you don't really have to know the sport fully because we help train. To be a head coach, you have to have 10 hours with our athletes prior to being certified. But we have training that we offer for those who want to coach. And even if you don't know the sport, we give you enough that you can coach it. But more importantly, we teach you how to coach it from the world of intellectual disability. For instance, most people with intellectual disabilities don't have a concept of time. Hmm. So if I'm a basketball coach and I'm working with athletes that don't have a concept of time, how do I teach 3 seconds in the lane?
Yeah.
So it's that kind of stuff, you know, and we do have a training program that we're able to provide, you know, and it's funny that you would ask that, but one time we had a program where we asked our athletes their opinion, and we said, is it better to have a coach that doesn't know much, or is it better to have no coach at all? And they said, no coach at all.
Wow.
Because a lot of them want to get into an organized sport where training matters. Mm-hmm. Competition matters. And so when we recruit coaches, we ask for commitment. Mm. You know, you don't have to be, you know, a college level basketball coach or a college level track coach or whatever, but you have to be willing to make a commitment because regardless of their ability level, these guys want to see themselves get better.
Yeah. So the athletes are not just totally, hey, we want a participation trophy. They want to get better at the sport, right?
They want to get better. And you have to remember, Jim, that I think it's one of the things that training and competition does in the world of intellectual disability. When you don't have access, all right, so, you know, my life is limited, you know, in a lot of ways. I can't do the things that a lot of other people can do because I don't drive. I may not have a job. If I live at home, I live at home. And
so are these individuals aware of this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they are.
Oh,
okay.
They know. And so what Special Olympics brings to them, and that's why it's important, it brings them the opportunity to accomplish something.
Yes. Mm.
So we all know what it means to succeed at something.
Yeah.
And they're not often given the opportunity to really be challenged in a way that they can see accomplishment, they can see themselves get better, and then the opportunity to celebrate that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. We're not Special Olympics recreation, mm-hmm. All right? We're Special Olympics training and competition. there's a big difference there.
I love that. We're with Randy Mascarella. She's the executive director of Special Olympics New Mexico. That does it for our first segment. We're going to say thank you to our sponsors and be back with Randy. And Randy, as you were talking, there's some other, as a coach is coaching a group of kids, there's a group of parents or caregivers that are responsible for those individuals that are in the practice with a coach. I want you to tell us when we come back, how does Special Olympics bless the parents and the caregivers? We'll be back after these messages. Please stay with us on ABQ Connect. Randy Mascarella is the executive director of Special Olympics New Mexico, longtime, well, a former athlete, former coach yourself, college coach.
Yeah.
I love that.
Did my little deal there.
Yeah, well, and you've been with Special Olympics now for 32 years. That's an amazing commitment, and you've already shared with us how that's kind of changed your life. As you described these young people, well, they're not, you have some older people with disabilities as well, adults.
Absolutely.
So, but they all have parents or caregivers, and I know that it's a challenge to be a parent, period. So I'm wondering how Special Olympics blesses parents and caregivers, both in watching a person have success in Special Olympics and maybe just having an hour while they're practicing to do some other things.
And all of the above.
Yeah.
Okay. So the thing about having a child with an intellectual disability, most likely that child isn't going to leave home. So, you know, full into adult life. And when the parents are no longer able, it either falls on a sibling or perhaps the care goes into a group home situation, but it's a long life of care. So we like to see it in different ways. We see it, first of all, as a support network, all right? Mm-hmm. So when you have a child with an intellectual disability, regardless of whether it's a child on the autism spectrum or it's someone with Down syndrome or whatever the intellectual disability is, you're going to have to go through a lot of testing. You're going to have to go through a lot of interviews. You're going to have to go through just so much. And it can be overwhelming. But when you are in Special Olympics and you attend a games as a parent or a caregiver, you're surrounded by other family members who have gone through what you're going through, or you're surrounded by family members who have yet to go through what you've gone through. And so it serves as a tremendous network and support. Because for the most part, they've faced a lot of the same things in some way or another. And there is nothing, in my opinion, more important than to be with other people who have gone through the struggles and the challenges and then have them give you information, but also share with you that there is light. And there is hope, and there is more than what a lot of people are telling you now to look forward to. So I think our families, you know, we say they're the heart of our organization, and they are, because they are in it for the duration. When they come to games or they go to practices, a lot of them do coach, so a lot of them do stay. But it also serves as a little respite. So it used to drive me crazy because I would go to a games and I'd be like, where's the families? Why aren't they sitting in the stands? You know? And then I learned early on. My daughter is going to Las Cruces this weekend for a state competition in cornhole. And it's the only time my husband and I have been in our home by ourselves without her for a very long time. So we're going to go out to dinner. We're going to go to a movie. We're going to spend time together. Now, I may come and watch her a little bit, but I'm not going to commit to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, okay? So I think we offer a little opportunity for respite if they need that. And, you know, and that's a wonderful thing to know that my family member is safe. You know, they're out of town, having a great time in a hotel, eating pizza at midnight with their teammates. They're experiencing things that they wouldn't if they were here with us. And I think that gives our family members a sense of, whew, good. And they can do that. But, you know, a lot of them come. And I love that as well. You know, a lot of them, they coach. A lot of them serve as heads of delegation, which mean I'm just going to do all the paperwork and somebody else can coach, but I'll make sure their entries are in and that kind of stuff. I'll make sure they get the right size uniform, you know, that. A lot of family members do that. And then, and I love this about our state, and it is a little different here than it is across the country. We offer a good many of our team sports as a unified sport. And so because we're so rural, you know, half of the team are Special Olympic athletes and the other half are non-disabled. And when you get into some of these small towns, you just never had enough athletes with special needs to be able to put them all together on one team. So when we unified it, just for instance, volleyball, when I first came, we had 6 volleyball teams and it wasn't unified. And then as I learned more about the geographics of this state and what our state looks like, we decided we're going to unify these. So in volleyball, we jumped from 6 to 42 teams. Because they could play with their brothers and sisters, they could play with their moms and dads, they could play with their aunts and uncles, they could play with their neighbors. So we have unified volleyball, we have unified golf, we have unified softball, we have unified flag football. And that's a great way for families to come and play together.
I love that.
I love that too, because you know, you watch high school sports, you sit and you watch sports, you know, or you know, you don't have the opportunity to get out there. And I love this story. So we do our state competition in unified softball in Farmington. And those fields are just beautiful. Oh,
that's like the softball capital of the world.
You're not kidding. And, you know, ivy growing on the outfield fences and all that kind of stuff. And one of the dads came up to me one time and he told me, I am so happy to be able to do this because all my life I wanted somebody to announce my name when I got up to bat. You know, I mean, you know, it's stuff like that. It's like, oh, yeah. So for our families, it's just fun. You know, it serves as a really fun time for everybody to be together and compete. And I think that's the beautiful thing about our state.
Special Olympics New Mexico information can be found at SONM, so for Special Olympics New Mexico, SONM.org, or you can call the Special Olympics office at 505-856-0342 with any of your questions. Now, I've got this idea that we've talked about Special Olympics New Mexico needing volunteers, 2 different levels of commitment, training is available, et cetera. But I'm thinking that there are people that are sophomores in high school, 16 to 18 or 19 seniors, that are thinking a coach is somebody that is older. Mm. Can you use some high school kids to help?
Yeah, and we do. You know, we welcome, most of them aren't head coaches. Most of them at the high school age fall within assistant coaches because they haven't had the time to go through the training and get the background clearance and blah, blah, blah. But absolutely. And we offer 12 sports. So, you know, whether it's in aquatics or if it's, you know, softball or it's, you know, whatever the sport actually.
So, Randy, basketball. Let's take swimming, for example.
Okay.
That is coming up?
Mm-hmm. That will be in August. That'll be after summer games.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm thinking that there are some people that love swimming.
Mm-hmm.
The training for that, would you say, is 6 to 8 weeks out from the event? So maybe you've got to be doing that mid-June through the event?
Right.
So if a person wanted to volunteer, they could commit to so many practices a week. Mm-hmm. And really, that's just a commitment for the summer.
Yeah, right. And I'll tell you, that's a wonderful commitment to make. But also, we do need volunteers and we do need coaches. But also, in a lot of those sports, we need unified partners. We need somebody to say, yeah, I'd love to golf with a Special Olympic athlete. Or, yeah, I'd love to play on a softball team. And it is a commitment because you have to come to practice. You know, it isn't any different than anything else. But like you and I suggested, it's a lot more fun sometimes to play softball, to play volleyball with someone close to your own age than your mom or dad. Not that that's a bad thing, but, yes. You know, that's what high school kids bring.
So did you say flag football is
one
of them? Well, I'm thinking right now, we've got a bunch of people in high school. They're doing workouts right now, but they don't have a lot going on with football in the summer. Some of these high school football players. And I think that the women are starting to play flag football.
Oh.
I think that's a big deal.
Good for them.
I know the NFL has got flag football teams. It's now an Olympic sport.
Yeah.
That'll be happening this summer. So I'm just thinking about all the people and they have interest. I know a lot of people like me. I'll go play golf once or twice a month. I literally would have as much fun playing golf with somebody with an intellectual disability as I do playing any other way, because I'm not a great golfer and I don't have those expectations. And I would love to be able to bless somebody. So maybe I can. The whole thing I want to do is appeal to people right now and say, look, let's get 20 people together and help with something. I don't care what it is. But it's a great way to serve. It's an amazing thing.
Well, you mentioned the website, Jim, and if you go on our website, there's a place that says get involved. You can become an athlete, how to become a coach, how to become a volunteer, and our phone number's on there. And then you would call, and we would make sure you got placed in a place where you would really be well used and a place that you would really enjoy. I mean, we use, a lot of high school kids. I'll tell you where it gets really rowdy, in bowling. All right. So, we have 900 bowlers across the state of New Mexico.
Yeah.
And thank the Lord you don't have to know how to keep score anymore because it's all done electronically. But you have to make sure they get to the right lane because they switch back and forth.
Sure.
So, and it's loud. I mean, our guys love to bowl and they love to celebrate when they get strikes. And it's fun. And we use a lot of, and we always need people for that. April 27th. At Cleveland High School in Rio Rancho, we have bocce, all right? And we need at least 24 people to help us with bocce, and more if we can find more.
Randy,
and
while you're saying this, I want you to keep on that same track.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned high school kids. Mm-hmm. Maybe your class. Maybe this is a class project.
Could be.
How about a business 30 employees? Boy, what a great project this could be. both men and women helping with
absolutely. Like so the state summer games at the University of New Mexico, we have about 1,000 athletes that come, and we compete in volleyball, track and field, flag football, and bocce. And a lot of the companies, the banks, the insurance companies, you know, we really love to have them come. They support us financially. So they may choose to sponsor the javelin throw, or they may choose to sponsor, you know, United Parcel Service used to do the 50 meter dash, you know, the, and, you know, we just have a lot of companies that come. And what I always tell those people that make that happen, those people who say, I got 20 employees and I'd like to do it. We'd like to do this. I'd tell them, if you come, I can promise you for 1 week, your employees are going to be nicer and they're going to be more thankful. Yeah. And so, you know, it gets you out of the work rut and throws you into seeing a different kind of athlete who faces challenges that some of us can't even begin to relate to. And then as they watch, all of a sudden, my life doesn't seem quite as bad as I thought it was or is. And you see in them some amazing performances. Now, you said courage. All right. You were talking about courage. It will still your heart to watch someone do a 50-meter dash who can barely stay in their lane, or who can use, they might be using some kind of a crutch or a wheelchair, and how hard it is for them to go maybe 10 yards or 15 yards. And when you see courage like that, that's a kind of courage that most of us don't ever get to see every day.
I love that.
And it really is, it's very meaningful and it's very life-changing.
Randy Mescarella is the Executive Director of Special Olympics New Mexico. You can reach out to them at 505-856-0342 or find them online at sonm.org. And again, donations made, 501c3, tax-deductible donations. Think about as an individual. Think about as a business. Think about as a class, group of classmates at your high school, maybe, how you might be able to reach out and touch some lives through Special Olympics New Mexico. We've got one more segment with Randy. We'll be back after these messages. We're with Randy Mascarella. This is Jim Williams with you today on ABQ Connect. Randy is the Executive Director of Special Olympics New Mexico. Online, you can look at what they're doing at sonm.org, or you can call them at 505-856-0342. A lot of needs right now for coaches, other kinds of volunteers. Randy, I want to ask you about, and I don't really know what this is, but I want to ask you about the Unified Champion Schools program.
Okay, I love this program. So Unified Champion Schools is at all level of elementary, mid, high school, even university level. Special education students partner with regular education students, and they play sports during the school day, sometimes after school, but mostly during the school day. And it was created because so many special education students, truthfully, were never treated well by their regular education peers. They were bullied. They eat alone in the cafeteria. They don't talk when they're walking down the halls. It's just been really, really hard to be a special education school student in any school and feel like this is my school too. Mm. All right. So this whole Unified Champion Schools started by partnering all level, preschool through up, just all the way up. And they play together. And there's more student involvement than teacher involvement. And so the students take the lead. And so it's been probably one of the, in my opinion, the best ways to teach regular education students about the world of disability, because they experience it, and they experience it through their special education students in the same school, and what happens over a period of time once the disability is understood, then friendships form.
I love it.
Okay, so I don't know what autism is, but I know that Jose sticks his fingers in his ears, and why does he do that? All right, and after I learn why he does that, now I can help him learn how to shoot a basket, or I can help him learn how to hit a softball, because I understand what he's going through. So this is how I see it. No generation before this has ever done a good job of embracing inclusion. We haven't. We've failed miserably. And we take the misunderstandings that we have, we take the fears that we have, we take the judgments that we have, we take them all the way through school, and then when we become adults, we carry them with us. So I'm afraid, you know, why is that person acting like that? Why is that person making those noises in the restaurant? Why? And we make judgments. Mm. And our judgments are based on what we see, not what we know. And so this Unified Champion Schools program, in my opinion, 10 years from now, these kids that are involved in this in New Mexico schools, after they graduate, these are going to be the non-disabled kids that are going to hire our guys, because they understand what they deal with every day.
Yes.
They know their strengths. They know what they can do. They know their limitations. And they're going to be better neighbors. They're going to be better friends. And the whole concept of inclusion is going to be something that we've never seen before.
Well, Randy, I'm embarrassed to say this to you, but I told you this during one of the breaks. Calvary Church has a number of different ways to get into the campus from a wheelchair. Like, you can roll right into this studio. I think they've done a pretty good job. I've actually asked some people with some expertise that are in wheelchairs. Yeah, there's pretty good access. But here's what I'm embarrassed to tell you. I think I'm pretty macho. I'm 6'7". But I see a person rolling down the path, and I'm coming the opposite direction, and I'm scared to say hi to them because they're in a wheelchair. What is wrong with me? All I really needed to do was get down on one knee and say, hi, how are you? Welcome.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's not necessarily that you're scared. You don't want to do something wrong.
Yeah.
It's more that. So rather than make a mistake and do something wrong, I'm just going to do nothing, you know. And the nothing part is what creates separation and isolation. So if I can just engage and not be fearful, you're just going to see what they bring to life that we don't even know. You know, and I always say, you know, they experience so much cruelty, and yet they offer kindness. Mm. You know, they experience loneliness and isolation, like most of us don't know, and yet they're so free to offer friendship. So I think, you know, just learning to be engaged and not be fearful of making a mistake and not be afraid, you know, they're...
Do we frequently, and I'm actually lumping in caregivers and parents along with us that are kind of outsiders, and we should be insiders. We should be making friends and being inclusive, as you've just beautifully described. Do we sometimes underestimate the capabilities of people that have intellectual disabilities?
Absolutely, because we don't know. You know, we're very quick to make judgments, you know, based on things that we don't know. And I think, you know, they're capable of so much more than we give them credit for. And that goes everything from employment. I have people tell me all the time, I hired this guy 23 years ago to wash dishes at Olive Garden, and he hasn't missed a day of work.
Love it.
But he had to learn how to run the dishwasher, and it took him a little longer. But now the dude is the best employee I have. You know, you just don't know. You just don't know. And so being patient, taking the time, exposing them to opportunity, giving them the chance that they can offer to us things that we just don't have any idea are even in there.
What would you like our listeners to do to participate? Should they call you? Should they just go online and fill out a volunteer application? What action should they take?
All of the above, but I think the call to the office is a great way to start, because we're statewide and we have people all over the state, you know, and they can call and we get them plugged in to where they think they might want to be plugged in. And I think there is something a little bit more personal about conversation. But if you don't call and you just want to go online and look at how to do this or how to want to be this or I want to do this, you can do it online and you can figure it out. But I
by the way, I love being able to call.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the online stuff.
I know. Well, and you know, you get a real person and then you got a million questions that you didn't even know you were going to have. So I think a call is worth it. And we're there most every day from earlier than we want to be till later than we want to be.
And you have events coming up in less than 2 or 3 weeks, right?
We do. May 31st and June 1st, State Summer Games at the University of New Mexico Track Stadium. We'll have 1,000 athletes in.
So you need timers? You need people that can help organize? You need coaches?
Yeah. Friday night even, we have an opening ceremony that starts at 7 o'clock, and that's free and open to the public. And that's a pretty cool thing if you just want to come and watch that. Mm-hmm. You know, you're watching Olympic athletes march into the stadium from all over the state, and that's a pretty cool thing too. And by the way, we do need some entertainment for that event. We don't have power on the field. We can play music from the press box, but everything from drum lines to anything that doesn't require power that, you know, people would love. I could really use 10 minutes of entertainment. So if anybody has anything, whether it's dancers or, you know, and hopefully the weather will be lovely, but could you really use that at opening ceremonies?
Yeah, I love that. Call Randy at 505-856-0342 or sonm.org. What do you think the... a volunteer will learn about themselves that they don't know today if they work with Special Olympics?
They'll learn...
You said something earlier about employees, like maybe somebody wanting to do a team building thing. Mm-hmm. You said if they're volunteering with us, that group of people is going to have more joy and be more happy for that time they're helping Special Olympics.
They're going to learn to see disability different, and they're going to relate that to their own lives in their own way. And so, you know, they're going to see challenge. They're going to see courage. They're going to see celebration. They're going to see joy. They're going to see things that they don't see every day. And when they see that happen in front of their face, it's going to stick with them. There's going to be something. There's always something. One athlete, you know, one performance, one something that's going to stick with them. And, you know, whether it's gratitude for the lives they have, whether it's they're impacted by something that an athlete would say to them, they're just going to see what they don't see every day. And that, to me, is that's what life's all about.
Randy, knowing you the little bit that I do, I'm going to ask you a question that has to do with our state. Mm. And it really has to do with us socioeconomically, culturally. And here's the question. Do you think New Mexico, doing the things that you are asking us to do through Special Olympics as a starting point, could become the best place in America to raise a child regardless of their intellectual ability?
Absolutely. Of course I think that. I think the people of our state are wonderful here. And I have always thought that. And I think when the people here get together, regardless of difference, and we do good, however that good, whatever that good looks like, we're all lifted up by that. And so I am a firm believer that because of the people that we have here, the cultures that we have here, and just maybe being part of a greater family, being a part of something bigger than ourselves, I absolutely think that when people are right-hearted, right-intended, and buy in, we could blow the other states right out of the water.
Well, I do want to bring up something that you said. I hope this wasn't shared to me in confidence, but and you don't have to talk about dollars and things, but you mentioned that Legacy Church is doing a lot to support Special Olympics. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Steve Smotherman, our friend Daniel McCabe, they're of various ministries like Feed New Mexico Kids. They have what used to be the Albuquerque Rescue Mission is now Steel Bridge, and they help people get off of drugs and transform their life. I mean, they do a lot of amazing things in the community, but I didn't know until today that they're really active in Special Olympics.
Yeah. Pastor Smotherman pretends he's a good golfer. So he comes out and he plays golf in our tournament, and those people are boots on the ground. You know, and they want to make an impact, and they help us in many ways. They support us financially. They are athletes that attend there. You know, they wear their medals, and he recognizes them during services. And you know, it's great to have Legacy as part of our Special Olympics family, and they are.
Yeah.
So you know, we invite that. We invite people, come be a part of the Special Olympics family, and we would love to have you.
And everything that you've described today is really expressing the love of Christ to people.
Yeah, absolutely, the love of Christ. And you know, I can't tell you. When you said, what will people see and what will they leave with? Half of them, if they don't know the Lord, if they don't know Christ, that's what they leave with. Mm. They see it, and they see it in our athletes. They see it in our families. They see it in themselves. Parts of they may not even have known were in there. All of a sudden, a level of kindness or a level of compassion that they didn't even know, and that's Christ in a most beautiful way.
Hey, so let's do a little business right now. I'm going to talk you into coming back on the show. When is the summer competition start?
Okay, so the area games in here in Albuquerque in central New Mexico, the one we really need people in bocce, that's April 27th.
Okay.
And that's 8 to 1 o'clock.
That's just a week away.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then state summer game, Friday, May 31st through June 1st. And those days are full. So if you go online and you look at what sports and what time and where we could
maybe assisting and learning and part of your training. And sounds like anybody that does this could have a really long, fulfilling volunteer relationship with your people and Special Olympics.
We hope so. We promise if you come, you won't leave sad that you did.
I love it. Thank you, Randy, for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.